God, that goes beyond our thoughts and our wildest dreams and our expectations. God, we know that we fail. We know that we mess things up every day. But yet you reached down and you sent your Son, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We say hallelujah. Praise be to the Most High God for forgiveness of sins, for washing us clean with your blood, Lord. We ask, Jesus, that you'd move mightily in our hearts today as we come to your Word. God, I pray that you'd help me to move aside and out of the way and only let your words of truth come forth. God, touch our lives. We ask to touch our children. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you're a God that's not far away, but you're a God that's near. You're a God that has his 10 fingers in everything that we do. We give you glory for that. You are sovereign among us, Lord. You're glorious among us, Lord. You heal among us. You save among us. You provide among us. Oh, Jesus, I pray that you'd give us a revelation of the Holy Spirit, of your touch in our lives, of your handiwork, God, from the time that we were created. Oh, Lord Jesus, open up our hearts to your Word. Holy Spirit, we invite you to come and convict us and transform us to become like Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to invite you to take your seats this morning. We're going to be... Is this working? Yeah, it is working. We're going to be starting a new series. And I don't normally do topical messages, but this time we're just going to take a few weeks and take a break. But actually inspired by Brother Bob Spradling, he said, why don't you do a series of messages on the hand of God and the touch of God? And for those of you that probably know me better, we have love languages. Some relate through quality time, some relate through physical touch, some relate through words of affirmation, but I relate through touch. I like hugs, I like handshakes, I like connection. And you know, when we look at our history of our country and the founding fathers, many of them were deists, and so they believed that God created the world and just let it spin and just let it be on its own, and he pulled out in his distance. That's why you have people like Thomas Jefferson who took the Bible and ripped out all the miraculous parts of it and all the way that God intervenes. But I hope that through this series we'll see how God touches our lives. As a matter of fact, we've been experiencing that for so many years now, and especially this last year, an accelerated look at the touch of God in our lives. And that he reaches down his hand, he intervenes with healing, he intervenes with love, he intervenes in the deepest parts of our souls. He's very hands-on. And, you know, whenever I annoy Tanya and get in her way too much when she's cooking or doing something like this, she says, has this phrase, you get your 10 fingers in everything. Whether it's the chocolate cake or whatever that's being made. She hasn't made that in a while, but other good things. But God has his 10 fingers in every aspect of our life. Sadly, many Christians today live like the deists in a practical way. In other words, we believe like God is not even involved in our life, and we don't even look for God on a daily basis in our workplaces and schools. And as a result, it's brought a flood of confusion about who we are and who God created us to be. Right now, we're living in a culture that celebrates discontentment and making choices in our lives based on a temporal whim or feeling. Just whatever comes to me right now, I'm going to make my choice based on that. And the results are disastrous. It brings a storm of depression. Suicide rates are up. Self-hatred, body shaming, unhealthy diets, unbalanced lifestyles. In other words, it's the marring of God's creation. When he made us, he said it is good. And when he made mankind, he said it is very good. God created us to be restored in his image, and that's why he sent Jesus. And to regain sanity, we have to look at the hands of the Master who beautifully crafted each and every one of us. and who cares to be involved in our lives, who knows even the number of hairs on our head. And as I always like to say, when you brush a rough wall and skin cells fall off of you, He knows the number of skin cells that fell off, and He knows the number of skin cells on your body. He knows every atom, every molecule, every part of blood, and every part of who you are. He knows it and cares about you. This is why He sent His Son to touch us directly. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He beautifully crafted each and every one of us. God cares to touch us, and He sent His Son to restore that lost image in us that fell into sins. He came to reverse the curse. And Christians, of all people, should be celebrating God's beautiful work of creation, because you are fearfully and you are wonderfully made. So with that today, the touch of the Master's hand, the first aspect we're going to look at God's touch today is God's touch in our creation. And I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles back to Genesis. And go to back to Genesis chapter 1. We're going to be looking at verses 26 and 27 at first here. In verse 27 it says, God created man in His own image. And I want to read the verse before that leading. So let's look at verses 26 and 27. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heaven, over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in His own image, and in the image of God He created him, male and female He created them. So that word create, literally in the Hebrew, means to shape or fashion or form. That means it refers to a birth, it refers to something new, it refers to miracles. So when God made you, when He created you, it was a hands-on experience. When He created the human race, if you notice there, it says God called out the animals. But then when it came to the creation of human, it says He formed. He literally got involved and touched humans. We're created in God's image. So that brings us to number one today. When God touched you in creation, we have to remember He made you in His image. And that word make is to fashion. It's to work. It's to produce. It doesn't just be, God just said, "Oh, there it is, and I'm going to leave it hanging. I'll leave this woman, this man." He fashions us. And when we're saying that we're made in the image of God, it means that we're in His likeness, or we resemble Him. You know, when we laugh when we talk about our family and, you know, the husbands and wives, and you see the kids do something good, what does the spouse do? It says, look how he or she is resembling you. It's always all the bad stuff, right? When they get into trouble or they're mischief, or it's like, "It's just like you," right? It resembles. We have a likeness of God. And that word likeness means to be a model or a shape, or to be fashioned like or similar to. In other words, we appear like God. We appear like God. Now think about that. God made all the funny looking animals, and there's some funny looking ones, and there's also funny looking people. But if we say they're funny looking, right, we're made in the image of God. We resemble Him. This is the power, because we have to remember God's powerful touch is that He made us in His image. Look at Psalms 8. I have it up here on the screen, verses 3 to 6. It says, "When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you've set in place, and what is man that you are even mindful of him? And the Son of Man, that you would care for him. Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings," or the angels, "and you crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hand. You have put all things under his feet." That's why it's significant about Jesus putting the serpent under his feet when he came to die to reverse the curse, because that is God restoring his image within us. Have you ever thought of yourself that God created you with honor and glory? Who is God who made the expanse of the universe? Have you ever gone outside and looked at night at the stars and just like, whoa? Or been on a mountaintop and look at the breathtaking view of the stream and your heart leaps? God's heart leapt when He created you and me. From the time you were conceived in your mother's womb, you have been given dominion over the works of your sin, and everything has been put on your feet through Jesus Christ. Folks, I want to encourage you to think about that for a moment. God touches us in creation, in making us in His own image. How many times this last week have you called yourself a negative name? 8 times, 5 times, 4 times. Anybody in here? This last year? Why did you call God names? And I say that to myself because I say stuff negative all the time about myself. If we are made in the image of God, how can we? How can we hate ourselves if we resemble Him? That brings us to number 2. And this gets really good. And it's going to get really real in here, so brace yourselves. I'm an equal opportunity. I'm going to offend probably everybody in here today. Again, I'm offended myself already, but studying some of this stuff. But when God touched you in creation, He assigned your gender. When God touched you in creation, He assigned your gender. Look in verse 27. He says He created him male and female. And I want to talk about some of these words throughout Genesis. Man, the word for man in chapter 1, verse 27 is Adam or Adam. That's where we get the name. But it means human being. That refers to all human beings, male and female. But then when you get to the word in chapter 3, verse 20, Adam gives Eve the name, which means the mother of all living, or living, the first woman. And that's her name. But then in back to chapter 1 and verse 27, when he says male and female, that means male and that means female. And we're talking about biology here. So I hope these things shouldn't. This is the problem with the church, is that we've become ashamed of the way that God made us. If you came out with a penis, you're a male. If you came out with a vagina, you're a female. That is the way God made you. And it's beautiful and it's wonderful. And those parts we don't need to feel shame about. Because sex is a beautiful thing that God created. When we get to chapter 2, verse 23, he uses the word man and woman, a different word, which is is and issa. Men are is. Men, that means a male. And then woman is issa. That's a woman, or referred to a wife or someone who is the opposite of a man. So the word just gets stronger and stronger. So no longer does it just mean male and female. Now it means male opposite of a female. And it means female opposite of a male. Many people might experience feeling like they're different, or at one time or another. But that does not change our biology. So every person, and we need to preach this and we need to teach this. This is why there's so many people committing suicide. This is why there's so much confusion in our society. Because we're taught to go by every whim. When I stand on top of my hill, I just wish that I could be a soaring bird in the sky to go in and out of those valleys and hills, the beautiful hills of West Virginia. But I don't get on an airplane and just jump out and start flapping my arms. Nor do I get surgery to sew feathers in my arms. You would say that's crazy. Just because you feel like something. And by the way, I want to normalize something. If you're a male and sometimes you feel like a female and you have a hissy fit, that's okay. Or if you're a female and you're a little boisterous and proudful and, you know, that's okay too. But that doesn't make you a male. It's okay to feel those things on the inside. God gave us different emotions and feelings. And so many people experience feeling like they're different, but it does not change our biology. And another thing I want to say is confusion comes when a sin-filled society puts pressure on us to mar and change what God made. I mean, it's all around us. It's on TV. If you don't like how you look, there's a surgery for that, right? And we're quick to point out, you know, things about people having gender surgeries. But what about other things that we're not happy about the way God made us to be? You know, ever since I was a child, I was the smallest and the shortest kid that there ever was. And I always wished I could be tall and manly like Steve Foster. But no, God was happy to make me short. I don't know why. I mean, I know I'm playing soccer. I can get in and out of people much easier. And I can do circles and I can reach things down below that Steve can't. Society pressures us all the time to try to make ourselves be something we're not. In fact, that's what the Devil's Day, Halloween, that's what a celebration, that's why people put costumes on and go out and be something that you are not. It's the deception of the devil. Confusion also comes from wrongful pressure in the church and the world that certain tasks or interests are gender specific. I'm going to say that again. This confusion has come and partly by the church. By saying that just because you're male and female, you do certain things. It's the woman's job to cook and clean and do laundry. Well, I'll tell you, that's not the truth. I've learned that. That's definitely not the truth. Or you might be a young man and you like music and doing art and you don't want to be out playing basketball. That's perfectly okay. You're still a man because you have a penis. And you might be a woman who is a tomboy, what we call. Well, we shouldn't use that name. But I mean, she can do the job of three men. You're still a woman because you have a vagina. You might like to cook. Some of the best chefs in the world are men that cook. Some of the best athletes in the world are women. Can we stop this confusion in our community and in our church? And stop giving labels and names to people and causing more confusion among our young people. God created your sexual organs as beautiful instruments for His glory, and they're nothing to be ashamed of, no matter what size and shape. I want to say that again. Young people especially, listen well. Doesn't matter if you're short or tall. It doesn't matter if your sexual instruments that God has given you is big or small or doesn't look right. Whatever you might think, you're still a man and you're a woman. And God has made it beautiful and there's nothing to be ashamed of. Absolutely nothing. I know this is getting really real and graphic, but this is the problem that we've had in the church is that we haven't talked about these things. Folks, every part of your body is beautifully made in the image of God. And then I also want to say about this with your assigned gender that sex is, you know, I think in purity culture and in the church, sometimes we overly harp on our young people, don't have sex before marriage, don't have sex before marriage, that somehow sex becomes this evil thing and it causes all kinds of internalization and confusion about who I am and what I'm supposed to be. But sex is a thing that's designed to be enjoyed between a man and a woman inside the commitment of marriage. And we know that the Bible teaches that, right? We believe that. We know that and we understand that. But if we use sex, and here's the other aspect, the other way we need to look at that. Instead of shaming people, we need to look at it from God's design. You know, like I said, I'm not an eagle, so I'm not going to go and jump out of a plane and fly. Nor am I a plane. I don't have wings and I don't have an engine, right? I don't want to know what David O'Brien's thinking over there right now. But think about it this way. When we operate outside, sex outside of a man and a woman, within confines of a marriage, when we live together outside of the commitment of marriage, it's going to bring confusion to children. It's going to bring confusion to everyone around. It's going to bring hurt, and it's going to bring trouble in your life all around. And if we look at it from that perspective, emotional baggage and trauma, depression, sleeplessness, image problems, because we're doing something outside of God's plan, doing something the way God has meant it to be. So if we look at it from that positive perspective, is that I'm trying to save my children from trauma. I'm not trying to tell them what to do and what not to do, but I'm saying this is the way God designed you, and it's a beautiful thing. And when you try to step outside of that beautiful thing, there's going to be trouble and there's going to be hurt and pain. Many of us can testify that, and thanks be to God for the forgiveness of sins. That when we do make mistakes, He puts us back on the right path and forgives us of those sins. So when God touched you, He assigned your gender. Celebrate it. You know, in fact, I would say at your birthday that we should start celebrating not only your birthday, but your gender. Can we do that in the church? Can we celebrate the fact that God biologically made you a male or a female? 3, when God touched you in creation, He formed you with His own hands. And I love this. And so let's go over to chapter 2, verse 7. Look at that verse. It says, "Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living creature." When we think about this, you don't like how tall you are, how short you are. You don't like the features, how much your ears stick out, how much your nose, whatever it is. Everybody's starting to look around. Don't be self-conscious. You all have different traits, and that's how we know who you are, right? That's how we know you by name, because you have that unique look. But God was forming it. He was putting it together. Look in Psalms 19. I have it on the screen. "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims His handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge." You are God's handiwork. Have you ever looked at yourself in the mirror and said, "You are God's handiwork"? I challenge you to do that. It's one of the hardest things in the world to do. You are a beautiful man made in the image of God. You are a beautiful woman made in the image of God. Can you say that to yourself? If you forgot your biology and which one to do, you can just look. Psalms 139, verses 13 to 16. "For you formed my inward parts." Now, it doesn't sound like God just zapped you in your mother's womb here. This is Psalms 139. This is a beautiful picture. "For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In the book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when it was yet there was none of them." So God was busy forming you intricately. Like, you know, we watch the quilters and all the intricate quilting that they have to do. And you look at the fabric of the chairs that you're sitting on and look at the different colors. Look closely at it. It's an interesting. Can you tell me what color it is? You probably can if you look closer. Now, some would say it's gray. Some would say it's tan. Some would say it's a little blue in it. Whatever. God specifically weaves you together with all of who you are in a very detailed, powerful way. Can you say that out loud with me? I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Now say it like you mean it. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And for those of you that are men, say, I am a man. And those of you who are women, say, I am a woman. Different tone, right? Because different biology. So what does this mean? What does this mean to us? That God took the time to weave us and form us, every part of us, even the parts that you don't like. Your body is God's handiwork. Your mind is God's handiwork. Some of you wish, boy, I wish I could get all straight A's like this other guy over here. Well, some of us might have to study hard than others. You know, my brother was always jealous. You know, I could do things and get grades a lot easier, but he had to really apply himself to get those grades. Minds work different. My brother is good at construction and building things, and I don't think you want me to build your house for you. Right? Yeah. I made the dog door, but I mean, it's still there. It's quite heavy. Your personality is God's handiwork. Your gender is God's handiwork. And your spirituality is God's handiwork. So I want to take this another level is, how does this apply to my life? Or what does it imply for you and I? First of all, we should honor and take care of our bodies and exercise self-care. If God has put that much work in us, here's a way to get balance and health in our lives. And you know, a lot of spiritual problems like depression and worry and things come because we don't have balance in our physical lives. And it comes from an abusive society and pressure in society to do things that we shouldn't be doing. So we need to have adequate sleep. Science can tell you can read up on that, how much sleep you need per night. And it's different for all of us, but you should know. If you're not getting adequate sleep, there's a problem. And here's the other problem that I had this last few years is the problem with movement and exercise. God made us to move. He didn't make us to fit in the concave of our easy chair at home. He made us to move. If you're not moving, no matter how old you are, it doesn't matter if you make a little movement or if you get in the pool and just do something like this. Or you go dancing. Dancing is a gift from God to go move, to learn certain dance. It takes mental coordination. And I'm having a real difficult time with that, with some lessons that we're taking. The mental part right here doesn't always match with what the feet are supposed to be doing. Tanya gets it right away. But movement is a gift from God. Proper diet. Folks, and here's where I'm going to be equal opportunity and offend you and offend me. In soda pops, high fructose corn syrup, that was invented to fatten pigs. And then they discovered it was a cheap way to substitute for sugar in everything that we eat. And so why is it that I got so obese? Because I drank a lot of that. And besides that, I would get an ice cream instead of having a nice little dish of ice cream. I'd have a big bowl of ice cream and pack as much in as I possibly could. And I got way overweight. I got diabetes and I had all these health problems going on. If we don't have proper diet, we have to cut out carbs. And certain Americans are addicted to way too much sugar. So here's the thing. If God made us in His image, we can change. Now, I could be jealous of the folks that eat whatever they want and they still stay skinny. And there's people like that. have a high metabolism doesn't mean they're healthy, and it doesn't mean they're taking care of their bodies like God wants them to. And they still have all kinds of health issues, whether they're obese or not. So movement, exercise, proper diet, and at least one day a week rest. You know why? Because God created the earth and He rested on the seventh day. If you don't take one day to rest, we're living outside of God's design and how He made us to operate. How about God ordains speech and living? I'm not going to get too deeply, but Proverbs talks about words and the effect of our words on others and ourselves. Or how about worry? It causes ulcers. So our physical body is affected by how we live. And here's one thing that we forget too, is time for play. Some of us get way too serious in our lives, and you need to make time for play. Whatever it is for you. I mean, I'm going to ask, what do you like to do for play? Some of you, it might be riding motorcycles, it might be fixing cars, it might be, for me, I like riding on the tractor, I like going hiking. What do you like to do? Shout them out. What do you do for play? Skating, fish, golf, oh, motorcycle riding. I tried golf, but it wasn't fun for me. Huh? Kayaking. You have to make time for play. And Americans that don't make time for play are living in high stress and very unhealthy. Give yourself permission to have healthy play. But then the last one too is important, is that God designed us to work. So we can't forget that. So in case you just say, well, I like what's happening in our country now. I like communism and socialism. I can sit at home and get money from the government and all this kind of stuff. You're going to be unhealthy. And your life's going to come into ruin if you don't work, because God made you to work. Whether it's at home or busy doing things for the Lord in the church, whatever your lot in life. I mean, some of us are retired, but those that are most healthy when they're retired keep doing stuff. You know, so if we're made in God's image, would we get more balance? I want to challenge you as a congregation, because God has been doing that work in my life. Terry. I mean, look at Greg Terry. I shouldn't say Terry. Greg Terry. Terry! It's like he's back in the Navy under the sea. I mean, Terry is half what he was. More than that. Because he decided to say, my body's made in the image of God. It's a beautiful thing. I mean, let's give him a hand even. And then I have a challenge from my dear, almost adopted mother, grandmother, Drew. Says, how much has he lost this week? And she's trying to beat me. She's like, I lost so many pounds, you know. So, you know, that's healthy competition. That's a good thing. Have you ever heard this in church before? Why not? We're made in the image of God. So this also applies that we need to take care of our minds. So if you're not engaging your mind in anything like reading or studying or whatever ways, crossword puzzles, things you like to do, that's a good thing. And then that brings me back to the dancing thing. I mean, that halts Alzheimer's and things like that, because you're exercising your mind to tell your body what to do. It's a good thing. Movement, that's an example of movement working together with our minds. How about our emotions? And this is one thing that men especially have big problems with. Have you ever been to a counseling or a psychologist ever before in your life? Why not? I have and will. Or I have a mentor or a counselor in your life. You need our emotions and our personality needs to be cared for too, if that's made in the image of God. Exercise healthy, consistent expression. Have you ever wanted to shout to the Lord in church and you haven't, but you shout at the basketball game? Why not? Because if you don't let your emotions loose in the right way, it's going to come out in the wrong way at home with your wife or kids or your family or whatever. You need to let it out where it needs to get let out. And that's what David did with God. If you want to get angry, go get angry with God, because he knows how to put you in his, in your place, in my place. Healthy expression of emotions. Get counseling. How come? I don't know. I don't understand why people say that's so taboo to get mental help, especially when we grow up with families where we have baggage. Some of us have mothers and fathers who have been controlling our whole life, and we're still trying to defend them and take care of them, and we're still trying to cover up for them. Why? It doesn't mean that we dishonor our parents. But we go and work through those things, because if you're a parent, you're not going to do all of everything right either to your kids. Not to scare you or anything, but you know, the more you rely on the Lord, but we're humans. We make mistakes. Counseling's a good thing. Our gender. And here's one thing I want to respect is that we need to learn to respect our differences between males and females and refuse to insult one another's gender. Perhaps when I said, men, when you have a hissy fit and you think you're a female, perhaps that could be construed as insulting. Or, you know, I hear in construction world, or I hear growing up in the army, they thought it was kind of cute for the sergeant to call the men, girls, all right, girls, get over here, girls. Why? Not girls. Boys, no wonder we're in a society with so much confusion. You might think this is, you're being a little over the top and ridiculous. I can tell you from being in counseling and from seeing people in counseling and from studying and reading up, those things affect and cause confusion. If he's a boy, call him a boy. If he's a man, call him a man. Don't insult. And that's insulting to women. Right? Yeah. Oh, what, you can't do it. You're just a girl. What? My wife can do it 10 times better than you can. I mean, that's... It implies that we respect gender that God made us. And not only that, we should invest in our spirituality. It's honoring the Sabbath and meeting for worship with other believers, participating in Bible study, investing as much time or more in more than earthly activities in Christian training. If you're not investing in your spiritual life and you're investing way more of your time in hobbies and things and activities at school or sports or music or whatever, there's something wrong and out of balance. Viewing everything we do as our ministry, that's our spirituality. Your work, you're hammering a nail, you're on the production line, you're working in nursing, you're teaching, you're managing, you're doing whatever. It is for the glory of God. Your spirituality connects with what you do. And that brings us to last. When God touched you in creation, he breathed his life in you. In the end of verse 7 there, he breathed his nostrils, in our nostrils, the breath of life. And why is that so important? Job 12:10, it says, in his hand is the life of every living thing and the breath of all mankind. I'm grateful that God has his 10 fingers in my life and that he breathed in me and has given me the breath of life. Without him, we wouldn't exist. And I love this picture in Acts 17. It says, the Lord God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man. Nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way towards him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each of us, for in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said, for we are indeed his offspring. Do you like that? I love that. It's in him we live and move and have our being. Everything that we do, every move we make with our bodies, it's in him because his breath of life is in it. And did you catch him? Have you ever thought, well, I wish I was born in this era of the world or of time? You know, things are getting pretty bad now, right? In culture and society. Well, it was bad back then too. If you would have zapped to back then and find out what was going on behind closed doors in the cupboard, it's the same stuff now. Things are just more boisterous and open now. But you know what? To trust that God breathed his breath of life in you right at the moment that he needed to and wanted you to be. You're here right now today in 2021 in this culture, in this country, in Scott Depot, West Virginia, right now for a reason, so that you come to know the Lord Jesus as your Savior and share the good news with other people. That's the beauty of God breathing his life in you. And so when we think about that, how is God renewing us? He says in Colossians 3, do not lie to one another, seeing that you put off the old self and its practices. Put on the new self, which is being renewed into the knowledge and image of its creator. And this is where some of you might say, well, I know God said it was made pretty good, but what about sin? That's why he sent Jesus. That's why he's making us a new creation, as it says in 2 Corinthians. If anyone's in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. If you're a believer here today, you're in the process of from coal to a diamond again, in the image of God. And that is how we live, and that's what we strive for, and that's what we enjoy as believers in the church of God. So how do we respond to this? I would first say in humility. So if all these things are true that we just looked at in Genesis, how should we respond? I had a friend that sent me, he's an artist, and made this little thing and sent it to me. It says, you're a human being, hashtag be kind to yourself. Themes I must learn to be free from. Self-hatred. Self-condemned, self-condemnation, self-judgment, perfectionism, working to please people, and shame. Themes I must learn to engage. Patience, kindness, love, delight. I would add to that play. Self-compassion, ownership, being free from the self-critic. I love this, and I have this on my desk that I can look at all the time. Well, so shouldn't that bring humility to us and reverence? When God says, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool, what is the house that you will build for me? That's your body. That's you. And where is the place of my rest? All these things my hand has made, and so are these things came to be, declares the Lord. There's that hand again. But this is the one to whom I will look. He who is humble and contrite and trembles at my word. So let's stop trembling at what the world is telling us, what Facebook is telling us, and tremble at what God says. You're made a male. You're made a female. You're made perfectly. And the next thing is that we would trust in God's purpose for our lives. We already studied Romans 8 on Wednesday, but in Psalms chapter 138, verse 7 says, though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand delivers me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me, your steadfast love. Do we believe that whether we came out tall or short, our body makeups is more husky or very thin, or we have big ears or little ears, or a nose that sticks out, or curves that we don't want where there's curves. Does God have a purpose? He does. He does. And we can also respond by letting God shape us, because in Isaiah 64, he says, "O Lord, you are our Father, we are the clay, you're the potter, we're the work of your hand." And then Ephesians, it says that we're God's workmanship. We have to trust God to shape us into what he wants for our lives. And this is the antidote to gender confusion in our country today, is that God is shaping us. He's the potter and we are his beautiful workmanship. And here's the thing. This is coming down. How should we respond by viewing yourself in the way God does? Do you see yourself? When God saw everything that he made in Genesis 1:31, and behold, it was very good. Do you believe that about yourself because of what Jesus Christ has done to reverse the curse in your life? Can you look at yourself in the mirror and say, "It's very good"? If you can't, and if I can't, am I greater than God himself? Am I more right than God, the King of the universe, who says it's good? And then the last thing is that we need to accept our circumstances without worry. Jesus says, don't worry. I'm not going to read that whole thing, but you're familiar with Matthew chapter 6. When we worry, we get sick. And then lastly today, how should I respond when I celebrate my gender, when I celebrate every physical aspect that God has made me to be? Well, the psalmist said, "I praise you. I praise you. For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it full well." Does your soul know it full well? Can you look at yourself in the mirror and say, "Wonderful are your works, God"? In fact, that's my challenge this week. Men, even men, you need to do it. Your wives can get on to you. I'm giving them permission right now if you don't do it. Is to go to the mirror and say, "I praise you, Lord, I'm fearfully and wonderful made." You can read that verse, or you can just say, "Wonderful are your works. God, you made me wonderful. Thank you." And go on with your day. Do it the first thing in the morning, especially with the crusties and all the things when you first get up and go, "God made that even." You're laughing. It's a gift of humor. Laugh at yourself. Aren't you glad God has his 10 fingers in everything in our lives? Let's pray as the worship team comes. Father, I pray for every person in this room today who has battled with hatred and contempt for self. Every person that has inflicted harm on themselves, every person that has battled with eating disorders. Lord, we come and we lay all those things before you right now. We ask, Lord Jesus, that you would come and heal. You'd come speak those words over every person, that she is very good. Very good. You are very good. Every body part that God made is very good. Every part of your personality is very good.